Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
11:04 on The Fan, hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live, of course, from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. And Carl Banks is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. And by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, our good buddy, Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I'm doing well. Carl, I am doing well. Yes.
Was Lil Wayne on the team charter?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. I don't know. I thought he was on the staff after that. Give me your reaction before we get to the game, because there's so much from this game. Your thoughts on the Odell interview.
I really don't have them. I mean, it's his words. He owns them. You know, he leaves a lot open for interpretation, and God knows we've got, and I tweeted, we got more interpreters now than the United Nations. But, you know, people have weighed in on it enough. I think when a player has, you know, things to say, he has to, you know, obviously he has to walk back in his locker room, and, you know, I don't know what their understanding is or what the I don't know if there's an explanation, but I'm sure there was a conversation. And other than that, you got to go out and play. As simple as that. That's what it really comes down to. I don't think anything he said is enough to fracture the guys, especially if they've had a conversation with him. I don't think that they're going to be fractured over it. It's just now it's up to him. You know, when you put it out there, you got to go out and play. And that's all anybody's concerned with anyway, because if he's saying that they lack fire, go out and play with fire and inspire other guys to do the same. I think that's what his intent is each and every week. Whether he gets that done or not, I mean, there are some opportunities that were in the game that he could have helped the team. And then there were times in the game where he was a big impact on the game. But, you know, he had the drop fourth down catch, which, you know, a player of his ability's got to make, you know, plain and simple. The punt thing, he was, you know, trying to get out of the way, misjudged the ball. But look, a player of his ability, that's not expected of him. So look, he owns his words, and I haven't heard him publicly retract anything. I don't know what he talked about with his teammates, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, just go out and play. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, there have been a lot of interpretations of that interview. I don't really have an opinion on it other than he said it. It's his. I don't think that was a hostage video. There were no guns pointed at them when Josina was asking the question. So, it is what it is. You know, Josina did her job. She got him comfortable enough to speak as freely as he wanted to. So he wasn't guarded. It's what it is.
Mm. What did you think of the officiating yesterday, Carl?
I think Mike Tomlin summed it up best. That stuff is going to cost people jobs. It really is. It was bad. I just had never seen more just blatantly bad calls in one game. And it's around the league, though.
No question.
And look, don't let me be the conspiracy theorist here, but it's just, I know it's impacting, you know, some of the folks that bet on these games. This stuff is crazy.
Of course.
And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have the feeling that these things, no, I'm going to stop right there. But it's just, I know it's driving people that bet on the games crazy.
Well, it's driving everybody crazy. Sure. It's driving fans crazy.
You know, but the people that do it for the love of fandom, it's driving everybody crazy because you sit there and it's, you just, you know, some of these calls, you say, where are these coming from? And it's costing games. You know, teams have a chance to do some other things during the course of the game, but you would hate to have, you know, drives continued. You're playing your heart out and you get some bonehead call. It's just these guys have got to be held to a higher standard of accountability.
Well, you mentioned Tomlin. We played his clip earlier on in the show. What I really admired about it is that he said it after a win.
Yep.
And I think he stood up because – no matter what, and I'm not saying Snacks Harrison or anybody's wrong about some of the officiating in the Giant game, it just comes across differently when you lost. It comes across almost bitter even if you're right. But when you win and you say it, you kind of admire it a little bit. So I thought that was kind of cool that Tomlin did that because the Giant game was infested with bad calls. And they happened to all go against the Giants.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to seem biased by officials, but – They've been equally bad across the league. Each week you're going to see, and you got to probably start looking at these officials and the crews that are working together. I think I was listening to Charlie Weiss say that they used to, and I know they did, they would scout each official and know what they like to call and what they don't like to call, and they kind of coach that up during the course of the week. But some of this stuff is out of the blue. I know some of these things are not things that you can predict from an official, like, you know, a defensive back diving for a live football and his back is to the receiver and he gets called for the hitting a defenseless receiver. I think they were both defenseless at the time because they were both going for the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And believe me, it was not on 31 because if it was, they would have corrected it.
Right. That was the worst one of the calls made. I thought that was the most egregious and most impactful when you look at what ended up happening. Carolina ends up scoring a touchdown out of it.
Yeah, but let's go back now and talk the game itself. There are many factors that influenced the game, but I think the biggest factors were the Giants in the first half defensively. They forgot how to tackle.
Oh, my God.
That one touchdown.
I mean, listen, they were their own worst enemies. I mean, they came out in the second half, and you could tell they actually did have coaching about tackling because they came out and didn't miss many.
Right.
But that first half, it was the worst group of tacklers I've seen. And that really hurt them because they had some opportunities to really get off the field on some long yardage situations, and they had guys bouncing off of them. These were – passes caught within the five yards of the line of scrimmage that are going for 25, 30 yards.
Yeah, no question. Talking to Carl Banks. You know, I want to go back to another call, too. And that's the game-winning drive by the Panthers. Mm-hmm. That third down run by McCaffrey where, Carl, I didn't think he got the first down. And they never really, it was like, boom, oh, he's got the first down. In fact, when I'm watching him play, I see Newton on the next play spiking the ball. I'm like, what is he doing? The game's over. I didn't even realize they gave him the first down.
Yeah,
that play was not looked at close enough by me.
I don't think the booth called down and said, we got to take another look at it. Maybe they looked at it and said, okay, good enough for us. But it's, and you look at that drive, it's under a minute. The Giants gave up a big field position changing pass play.
Yeah, no, they did.
20-something yards. Now, that you can't blame on the officials. The officials' call came after that, and – look, I'm not by any means scapegoating officiating here, but let's call it like it is. They've got to be better in situations. They bend but don't break. They showed time and time again when they were threatening Carolina that they could try to turn them away, but they've got to make life easier for themselves. They've got to have just kind of the end game awareness of knowing, okay, this game's on the line. We can't give up a big one. And when they do that, it now puts more pressure on how your defensive coordinator calls the game because 50 seconds and you get a big chunk play and you still got 30-something seconds to go to get in field goal range, it's a lot different.
Sure. looking at the quarterback, is we haven't talked that much about him, and I think the way this game ended, we may have been talking a lot about Eli Manning. He throws two interceptions. I thought the second one looked like there was miscommunication between him and Sterling Shepard. The first one, he rushed, he threw it off his back foot. But to Eli's credit, he throws two interceptions in horrible spots. He was unbelievable responding to it. Not just the Beckham touchdown, the two-point conversion. And then he marches down the field in less than a minute and goes 75 yards as they score what looked to be the winning touchdown. The good and the bad, in your opinion, from Eli in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think the good outweighs the bad when you can take your team, put them on your back, and drive them down the field. And that's the Eli Manning that fans were accustomed to years ago. They, you know, comeback Eli. He was the captain comeback. And yesterday was vintage that. You know, that last drive, physical game. He made some mistakes. Everybody made mistakes in that game. I think he and Cam Newton matched each other for interceptions. But, look, it's how you respond to those types of things. Quarterbacks throw interceptions. Clearly, he didn't stink up the place, which probably disappoints a lot of people who had a narrative of, you know, he's washed up, stood in the pocket, made good throws, made good decisions with the football. Obviously, he had two interceptions. But I think you saw – you know, when he has some time, he can make throws. And even when he didn't, he moved around. Moved around a lot better yesterday. They rolled him out, threw on the run. So there are some things. I see a lot of things getting better with this team. They just got to get a win. I think there's enough good – no, I'm sorry, enough positive to where the locker room will continue – to rally around each other, because they're looking at plays that they can specifically point to and say, this is why we lost. We can't do this type of thing. And they hold each other accountable because they played good enough to win, but they didn't play winning football. And that's the difference. They're not a good enough team to overcome certain types of mistakes. Especially, and we talked about this on Friday, I talked about complementary football, offense, defense, special teams. Once again, special teams were a liability at times, at the wrong time too. So they've all, you got a crucial offsides after a big stop, right? A stop that gives your offense good field position, and you get an offsides penalty on a punt team. On your punt return team.
Yeah.
And it keeps their drive going, and they just come down the field. So now field position changes whether or not they score or not. These are the things you can't do, especially when your offense has some, you know, they're starting to find a few things that are working for them. You want to get them the ball back so that they can start to build momentum. So it is just, you know, I'm sure they're disappointed, but I'm sure they can point to the reasons for their disappointment. Obviously, you know, kicker makes an incredible kick, but you make your own breaks. You know, if it were not for the big pass play that changed field position, maybe they don't have to deal with that. Maybe they don't have to put the game in the hands of a kicker, you know. So they have some work to do, but I think, you know, you're starting to see some areas of improvement. They've got to get better faster now. They got to play faster early. And get a win. It's simple as that. I mean, you know, losing never feels good, but when you look at yourself and you say, look, it's not like we were overmatched and we couldn't hang in this game and possibly win it, or win it, period. They could look at it and say, look, we played, you know, toe for toe with these guys. We weren't perfect, but we made too many mistakes. Unforced errors are the ones that hurt them, not the ones that, you know, the ones that come during the course of a football game, but you know, you can't give Cam Newton the ball back when you just stopped him on a three and out. You just can't. I mean, they have good players on their team too. So you can't drop crucial fourth downs when you're in the middle and you got them on their heels and you're the go-to guy. You got to make a fourth down catch. Mm. Simple.
All right, they got a huge game coming up this week. I mean, they got a short turnaround. It's a huge game for the Eagles, too, who right now are reeling. They're sitting there at 2-3. They lose yesterday to the Vikings. You got a short turnaround here. It is at home. I mean, this is a game they got to have on Thursday night, Carl.
Well, I think each game right now, Joe, is a game they've got to have, but they got to put it together. Now, the good news for the Giants is that they've gone against a lot of good defensive fronts. The bad news is they're going against another. You know, so they know mentally how to prepare because the Eagles' defensive front is on par with the best in the business. So they've got to figure out how to get those guys blocked up to give their playmakers a chance. But I think this is a game they can win. I think, you know, when you got the Eagles that are not clicking on all cylinders, this could be the time that they could get it. So the Giants should feel confident in their ability to compete and win, be able to win football games, but they got to play winning football, and they just don't right now. They're just not doing enough of that. You know, everybody talked about, you know, they didn't get anything out of the running game. They got a lot out of the running game. They got a passing game out of the running game.
Yeah, how many play actions did they run?
Yeah, listen, when you got the Carolina Panthers legislated against Saquon Barkley having a great day. They had 9 in the box a lot of times. They had 8 in the box a lot of times. But what happened when the Giants started hitting their passes, they loosened up a little bit. And it helped Eli Manning a lot, too, in terms of how he was going down the field vertically. And they used it very well to their advantage.
Saquon must – and I think he got 15 carries in this game. He must have been hitting the backfield half the time. I mean, he must have – he was getting hit a lot early and often, but like you said, it allowed them to run that play action, which it seemed like they ran a lot in this game.
Well, and it was open for them. But here's the thing about it. When you have a guy like Saquon Barkley in the backfield, he's that Barry Sanders type guy. You can shut him down, shut him down, shut him down, and it takes one. And he changes it, and he goes, you know, goes the distance, or he rips off a 30 or 40-yard run. So you can never take for granted that your defense is doing its job until the job is over against him. And while you have to commit to stopping him, you're now leaving other guys open down the field, and the Giants were able to take care of that.
Mm. Carl, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, man.
We'll see you. You'll be here Friday, right? We'll be breaking down a Giant game after Thursday
Yeah,
night.
And listen, your guys, they responded. Defense responded.
They got to win this week, Carl.
Green.
They got to beat the Colts at home. They have to beat
one at a time,
Colts.
Joe.
No. They cannot back this up now with the typical no-show stinker against a bad team. Have to win this game.
And their track record says
that's right.
That's what will happen.
That's exactly
That's fair, but that's why they play the game. Let's see what happens.
I understand.
But you know what? They did. They had every reason to be stinking the place up yesterday, and they did just the opposite.
Well,
Played well, and
they played
speaking
great.
Of stinkers, Crowell was fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, you know what? I'll say this, too, and I've been very critical of the coach. The coach, I think, got in this guy's ear because that guy played like a man possessed.
He responded.
But he was a man possessed yesterday the whole game.
Yep.
He was unbelievable yesterday.
Offensive
line. And so
line,
was the offensive
well.
Line.
Yeah, the offensive line was
Kelvin
terrific
Beecham
yesterday.
Had some great blocks in this game.
Von Miller was a non-factor yesterday.
Well, they ran at him. That's what they did.
Yep.
And it worked.
Yep.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, Carl.
Thank you, man.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Carl Banks, the Giants play Thursday night. So Carl will join us Friday. We'll talk all about the Giant-Eagle game.
Yep.
Look ahead to week 6 of the NFL.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.